or a bit later. But this evening I just want to talk about something I've talked about before, but I kind of just felt like it's just a good reminder, you know, particularly as we go into the summer break, and just real reminder of our Father's heart for us and his overwhelming love for us. And, you know, the thing that's really, really to me is so clearly in his heart. And so I just want to talk very simply about a desire and a promise. And I want to look at the desire that I see being so deeply rooted in our Father's heart, a desire for us, a desire for relationship with his children. And then I want to look at just briefly at the end, a promise that he's given us in Scripture. Because I keep coming back to this, and every time I read some of these verses and see some of these things, it's like there's this tremendous passion in God's heart to have a relationship with his children. And it's not a relationship of a master-servant or a boss-to-employee, or it's not just like an acquaintance, but it's a relationship of a father to a son or a father to a daughter. And just before we look at the desire in God's heart, I want to talk about what I see his original plan being. You see, God's got a plan. God's always had a plan. You know, God's only got one plan. He's only got a plan A. He doesn't have a plan B. He doesn't have a plan C. He's only got plan A. And he's always had plan A. This has always been his plan. And despite everything that happened through the fall and through the disobedience of man and the pollution of man's heart, God didn't change. God didn't suddenly dream up another plan. You know, it says, I am the Lord, I do not change. You know, yesterday, today and forever, he is the same. He is eternal. So the plan that he had for you and me before the beginning of time, the plan that was conceived in his heart, is the same plan that he has for you and me today. Nothing changed in his heart. Everything sadly changed in the heart of mankind, in our heart, when we fell in the garden. But nothing in God's heart changed. And God's plan is very simple. And I've got it down to sort of three main sections. I think it's more than that, but there's three particular things I just want to focus on. The first part of God's plan is that we were made for his pleasure. He made us for his pleasure. Colossians 1 verse 16 says, for by him all things were created. All things. That includes you and me. You know, it's not just the trees and the flowers and the mountains and the hills and the lakes and the oceans. All things were created. That's you and me. That's us. All things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. You know, that means very simply that everything that exists on this planet was made by him, but it was also made for him. You know, God made us for himself. Even though he is totally complete in himself, even though he doesn't lack anything, he made us for himself. He made us to bring him glory. If you read that passage in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 7, it's a prophetic declaration of God the Father speaking to the ends of the earth, to the north and the south and the east and the west. And basically, you know, God is prophesying to the ends of the earth. And what it says is, you know, give up my sons and daughters. You know, where my sons and daughters are held captive, where they're held prisoner, where they're held in bondage, it's like the Father is saying, give them up, release them, because they were made for my glory. In Isaiah 43, verse 7, it says, "My sons and daughters who I love, who were made for my glory." And that's mind-blowing, that God made you and I to bring him pleasure, and to that we were made to glorify and to bring him glory. And it's not that he needs that to make him complete in any way, but it's like he wants us as his sons and daughters to bring him glory and see his name glorified in all of the earth. I really would encourage you to read those verses in Isaiah chapter 43 a little bit later, because it's a really powerful prophetic declaration of God's heart of compassion, God's heart of love for his sons and daughters, and God's heart as a father to see those sons and daughters being set free. So we were made for his pleasure. We were made to bring him glory. You know, that's really quite an incredible and amazing thing, that he looks upon us and there's something of pleasure that arises within his heart. I think in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it also says in the New Living Translation, I think, that we were made to bring him pleasure, which is just an amazing sort of thing, that, you know, God looks upon us mere humans with all our faults and failings and whatever, and he says, "This is my family, these are my sons and daughters, and they delight me, they bring me pleasure." And those of you who are parents will know exactly what it's like, because, you know, none of our children are perfect, but just think of how much pleasure they bring you. I'm really looking forward to next Friday. I'm looking forward to Monday, first of all, because our daughter is coming home from Israel, where she's been for 10, 11 months. Now, Fiona and I have seen her in that time, but our other daughters and our son, they haven't seen her. So on Monday, we're really looking forward to having Hannah back. And then next Friday, the two older girls come home. And, you know, there's something in our hearts that is just stirred with pleasure and delight of the family being back together. And it's, you know, just imagine that magnified in God's heart, that, you know, the pleasure of having his family back with him, you know, the pleasure that it gives his heart when his family is drawn out of their bondage and brought into this place of freedom. You know, it, you can just feel the delight and the pleasure that our Heavenly Father feels. So that we were made for his pleasure. The second thing I see as part of his plan is that we were made in the image of his Son. We were made to be like Jesus. Romans 8, verse 28 to 29 says, "For those who he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers." You see, you know, Paul is writing there that God has destined us in advance, you know, he's predestined us in advance to become, to be changed, to be transformed, to be like Jesus. Because, you know, he wants us to be like his Son Jesus. And that's part of what it, you know, when we talk about walking as Jesus walked and living as Jesus lived, that's the transformation that our lives go through as we live in love. That the more we live in love, the more we're planted in love, the more we're rooted and grounded in love, the more we will become changed and transformed to be like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." This is the Father's plan, is that we would be changed, transformed to be like his Son Jesus. That we would, you know, as our lives go deeper and deeper in love, so that love will work out in our hearts and it will change us. You know, I sometimes think we look at our lives as they are today And we see all the stuff that's going on and all the stuff that's going off and all the things we're going through. And, you know, it's very easy to think, oh, you know, am I really being transformed to be like Jesus? But what I encourage you to do is look back over 6 months, look back over a year, look back over 2 years, look back over 10 years. And then you'll see the difference. You'll see the transformation that's happened in your life, in your heart. And you'll know that you are planted in that pot, if you like, of pure love. And you will be able to see the transformation, the power of change that love has had in your life. So don't be discouraged by looking at the present, but look back at the journey Father's taken you on and say, yes, thank you, Father. Thank you that you have changed me to be a little bit more like your Son, that you've birthed something of sonship, that spirit of sonship within me. Because this is the Father's desire, is that we would become like his Son Jesus, that as John says in 1 John chapter 2, that we would walk as Jesus walked. That's not something that is a rule or is legalistic. It's not something we have to try and make happen through our own strength. But that's the fruit of living in love. It happens automatically as we live in love. And my encouragement is never to look at what we might become or what we might be. But my encouragement all the time is to go deeper and deeper in love and be more rooted and more grounded in love, because the automatic change and the automatic response of that is that as we're planted in love, it just grows within us, and love working in us produces the fruit. So I would just encourage you just to sort of make the focus being more and more planted in love. So the Father's plan is that we were made for his pleasure. We were made to delight him. We were made in the image of his Son. But we were also made to enjoy the unity of relationship, the same unity of relationship that the Trinity enjoys. I love this passage from John chapter 17, and I'm quoting it from the Passion Translation, because I think it really, really catches the heart of what Jesus was saying. And this is what it says. It says, "You are my righteous Father, but the unbelieving world has never known you in the perfect way that I know you. And all those who believe in me also know that you have sent me. I have given them the revelation of who you are, and I will continue to make you even more real to them, so that they may experience the same endless love that you have for me. For your love will now live in them, even as I live in you." See, Jesus, I love that verse. I love those two verses, because Jesus says, this is actually the prayer Jesus prayed for us. This is a prayer Jesus prayed just before he was taken away to the cross for his crucifixion. And this is, he starts off his prayer praying for himself, and then he prays for his disciples, and then he prays for all those that will follow and believe, you know, through the works of his disciples. And that's us. And Jesus here recognizes that he lives in an endless supply of perfect love. You know, he says, I am living in this endless love. And, you know, he says, Father, thank you that, you know, I know that you love me, that you love me, that you love me. And he says, you know, Father, it's my desire that all of these people here will know and experience exactly the same love. You see, Jesus's prayer for you and for me, Jesus's prayer for us this evening, is that we would live in endless, perfect love. That the relationship that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have together is a relationship that we're born into, that we can live in, and that we can experience. And Jesus says here, he says, Father, I have given them the revelation of who you are. He says, you know, Father, I've shown these people who are on the webcast this evening, I've shown them who you are. And if we go back to the beginning of John chapter 17, Jesus says, Father, thank you that this is my paraphrase. He says, Father, thank you that I've accomplished what I came here to accomplish. Father, thank you that I have revealed to your disciples who you really are. And of course, who Jesus has revealed is the Father, his Father. And here he is praying for us and he says, I've given you guys the revelation of who you are, and I will continue to make you known. I will continue to make you even more real so that we might experience the same endless love. For the love, for your love will now live in them. See, Jesus is saying that we can experience the same love that he experienced. There are no second-class citizens. We're not down here and Jesus is up here. As far as the Father is concerned, he loves you in exactly the same way, with exactly the same intensity of passion as he loves his son Jesus. And that's an incredible, incredibly beautiful and deep truth. See, this is the plan that the Father had for us from the beginning of time, from before the beginning of time. This has always been his plan. And it's still his plan today. Even though we've had, you know, the fall of man, even though we live in a sinful world, even though we live in a world that's broken in so many, many ways, this is still the heart of the gospel. This is still the heart of the Father for you and for me. This is still the heart of the Father for the people out there who don't yet know him, that they too would come to know through Jesus this same endless love. This plan has never changed. See, what changed in the garden was us. It was our heart. It was us that became broken. And despite that brokenness, God didn't change his plan. He didn't try and find out plan B. He stuck with his original plan of bringing us into this endless experience of perfect love. And right throughout the Old Testament, we read a number of occasions where we hear something of the Father's passion and something of the Father's heart for us. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 5 and 6, Moses writes that even though the people are rebelling, he says, but God is your Father, he is your Creator. You know, even at that point when the people were sort of doing their own thing and going their own way, Moses says to them, this God who you have turned your back on is your Father. He is your Creator. He loves you still. In Psalm 68, verse 5, God is a father to the fatherless. You know, many, many people, and you know, until we know God as Father, we're like orphans, we are fatherless. But you know, God never stops being a father, and his heart is to set the orphans and the widows into family where they would be cared for and where they would experience his fathering. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, it says, I had children, but they rebelled. You see, right at the beginning of that tremendous prophecy that Isaiah brings to us, you know, God starts off by saying, you are my children. You might have rebelled against me. You might have gone your own way. You might have done your own thing, but you are still my children. See, God never changed. His plan was always to be our Father. In Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 to 6, you know, we read about the heart of the father being turned to the children and the hearts of the children being turned back to their father. And that's the final, that's the closing words of the Old Testament, where the prophets are looking forward to the coming of Jesus and the redemption of this relationship, the putting right of this relationship that we'd broken and put wrong. And Malachi looks forward and says there's a day coming. And it was 400 years. It was 400 years later that Jesus came on the scene. But Malachi looks forward to that day and says the heart of the Father will be turned to the children and the children will be turned to the Father. He knows what is coming because he's seen something of the Father's heart. For me, I think the verse that really captures something of the cry of the Father, that really shows us what his desire truly is Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 19. And this is what it says. It says, I myself said, how gladly would I treat you like sons and give you a desirable land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought you would call me Father and not turn away from following me. That's the cry of God's heart. That's been burning in his heart since before the beginning of creation. That's what's sort of waiting to burst out of his heart for you and me. This cry that says, I really, really want to treat you like sons and daughters. I want to treat you like my children. I don't want you to live in your own rebellion. I don't want you to live in your own rebellious ways. I don't want you to do your own thing. I want you to live as sons and daughters. I want to be able to treat you as sons and daughters. I want you to live in my house, that my house would become your home. You know, so I want to give you a desirable land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. See, what our Father has for us is the very, very best. And it's like there's this cry in his heart that says, I thought you would call me Father. You know, that's what he wants us to call him, that we would come to him and say, God, you really are my dad. You really are my Father. And the heart of mankind has turned away. And many of us have lived a lot of our Christian life not knowing this truth, that in God's heart, he says, I want you, I long for you to call me Father. One of the things, you know, I listen out for when I'm in churches or in groups is how people pray, because it's a giveaway. And, you know, you often hear people praying to, you know, the King or the Lord Almighty or God Almighty. And that expresses to me something of their relationship with God. And, you know, you can hear when people are just praying and calling God Father. And I was in church on Sunday, and someone just started praying, and they just kept saying, Father, Father, you know, Father, thank you that you're here, thank you for your love, thank you that we can touch you in our worship. And something in me said, yes, you know, this person has caught hold of this, and is responding to this desire in the Father's heart, you know, because this, for me, every time I read this verse, it's like, yes. This is the deep desire in God's heart. This is the thing that, you know, motivates him almost, is that the relationship he wants with you and me, the relationship he wants to have with us is one where we would come to him and call him Father. You know, that's the longing of his heart. You know, I've read somewhere that there's 360 names for God in the Old Testament. And, you know, obviously in the New Testament, the disciples come to Jesus and say, hey, come on, Jesus, when we pray, when we talk to God, what should we call him? It's like the disciples are looking at all these names thinking, well, which one do we pick? And Jesus says, when you come, you just say, our Father, my Father, because that's who God is. You see, I think Jesus totally understood this verse in Jeremiah. He knew that his Father had this longing in his heart that you and I would call him Father. And, you know, if this is perhaps maybe a little bit unusual for you, or maybe this is something you're just growing in, Or maybe this is a new revelation for you that you can call God Father. What I would encourage you to do is just spend some time on your own and just start to say, Father, Father. You don't have to pray anything, but just say, Father. Just let that expression of love come out of your heart, that you can respond to this desire that is so well portrayed in this verse. Your heart can be drawn to your Father's heart. See, God longs that you would call him Father. And our response to that is very simple. It really is just as simple as calling him Father. You know, that's what he longs for. That's what he wants. So let's give him what he wants. Let's just come. And I remember when I was 20, and some of you will have heard this before, but I was in a youth camp, and this guy came up to me and he put his hands on my shoulders and he looked me in the eyes and he said, Mark, you've learnt to be a servant, but God wants you to be a son. And I just sat in my chair for 10, 15 minutes after that, and all I was saying was, Father, Father, Father. See, this is the longing of his heart. And I would just encourage you, if this is something that you're growing into, you know, just find a space where you're on your own and just say, Father. Because what you're doing then is your heart is responding to this desire in his heart. And as you do, you know, I just believe it brings a connection between our heart and his heart. And it's like the birth of the spirit of sonship within us. So, you know, that may be something you just want to do for a few minutes. We might even just have an opportunity just at the end of the webcast to do that. But that's the Father's plan, and that's his desire that's always been there. And the reason he has this desire, the reason he has this plan, is because he loves us. It's very, very simple. You know, for God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to bring us back to him. You know, 1 John 4 verse 16 very simply says, God is love. You know, everything about God is love. It's not something that he turns on and turns off. It's not something like we have to do where we have to work it up. But it's just who he is. Everything about God is love. And, you know, that's just everything he does is out of love. Everything he does is for love. You know, he can't do anything outside of love, because he is love. And he has this desire in his heart for you and me simply because he loves us. He loves us just the way we are now. He's loving you right now, simply because you're his son or his daughter. He's not thinking, oh, I'll love that person when they're a bit better, or I'll love them in 6 months' time, or I'll love them if they just get through this difficult patch in their life. No. He loves you right now. He's loving you right now. He's always loved you. And he always will love you. His love will never run out. It will never dry up, because he is love. And so we've got this plan that our Father's had in his heart all along. We've got this plan of bringing us into relationship so that we would experience the same endless, perfect love as Jesus experiences. We've got this tremendous desire in God's heart that we would come to him and call him Father. But I just want to finish very simply with a promise. And this promise is found for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. And it very, very simply says, I will be a father to you. I will be a father to you. And I can tell you that those last two words have changed my life. Because I think most of us know that God is Father. You know, we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're taught that God is Father. We're taught that Jesus is Son. But until we actually experience him being a father to us, that knowledge just remains distant and in our minds. But when we say, when we receive this promise of God being a father to us, it completely transforms our life. I know for me that those last two words, to you, you know, to me, I will be a father to you, they've transformed my life. They've transformed my understanding of who God is and who I am. You see, I am the father of four children. Now, I don't know whether I've been a good father or a bad father. I hope I've done my best, and I think, you know, they've turned out reasonably well, and we get on pretty well, you know, and I think they're great kids. But, you know, I could have just had, well, I could have been a father and just left them. I could have sat behind my newspaper, sat behind my computer screen. I could have gone off to the football. I could have gone off to the rugby. I could have stayed in the office. You know, I would have been their father, because that's a biological fact. But I wouldn't necessarily have been a father to them. And when we allow God to father us, it makes all the difference in the world. And this is his promise, that the desire in his heart, the cry of his heart, is fully satisfied by this amazing promise that says, I will be a father to you. I will be a father to you. Those two words have made a difference to my life. I believe they can make the same difference to your life. I believe those two little words at the end of that verse can transform your life as you respond to the cry in God's heart that says, I thought you would call me Father. As you step into that amazing relationship, as we go deeper and deeper into that relationship, as we allow ourselves to be planted in love, and we respond to this desire that's, and start to call him Father because that's who he is, and start to believe that he is Father, and start to live in his love, then we begin to experience him being a father to us. It's a very, very simple promise, but it's a very powerful promise, and it has the power to change our lives. And I just want to just pray for a couple of minutes, but just as we do, I want to ask you to open your heart to what Father wants to do in your heart right now. If you're not used to calling God Father, if this has been a new revelation for you, I'm just going to give us a few moments where we can respond. You know, no one else is, the other 37 people on the webcast are not with you, you're on your own. You can start to say, Father, you can start to respond to that cry in God's heart that says, I'm longing for you to call me Father. And my guarantee to you is the same guarantee that Paul gives us in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18. And that is that he will be a father to you, that you will come under the umbrella of his fathering. So let's just open our hearts to Father. Let's just be willing and wanting to receive what he's going to do in us. So Father, thank you for your amazing love. Father, I thank you that you really are loving us right now. Father, I thank you that you've only ever had one plan. And that plan is that we would come to you and call you Father, because that's who you are. Father, thank you that your plan has always been that we would have that same relationship with you as your Son Jesus has with you. Father, I thank you that your plan has always been to have a family who would bring you pleasure. Father, I thank you that even when we blew it, and even when the heart of man changed and became rebellious, Father, I thank you that you didn't let go of your original plan. I thank you, Father, that you didn't change your mind. I thank you that you didn't become the big man with the big stick. You didn't become the big judge, but you remained who you always have been and always will be. Father, I thank you that you stayed being Father. And thank you, Father, that you continually have drawn us back to you so that we would find out the truth of the cry of your heart that says, I long, I thought you would call me Father. And Father, we just want to respond to that tonight. And very simply, in our hearts, Father, we want to come before you and say, Father. Father, for that's who you are. Just let's take a couple of minutes just in the quietness of our hearts, just to respond. Maybe for the first time to say, Father, God, you really are my Father. Maybe to go a bit deeper, say, Father, take me deeper in your love. Take me deeper in this expression of perfect love, endless love. Help me to go deeper, Father. Let's just take a few moments just to respond to him in the quietness of our hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, let his love fill your heart. Just receive. Receive all he wants to give you. Thank you, Father. Just let him breathe life into your heart. Just come as a son or daughter and say, Father. Father. It might be a bit strange for you, but no one's listening. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we receive your love. We receive your love. Ooh. Promises to be a father to us. Because that's who he is. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love, Father. Thank you that you're with us. This morning, someone posted a song on my Facebook page called A Father to You. It's an absolutely delightful, lovely song. It's a beautiful song, and it really, really expresses a lot of what I've been talking about this evening. And I've put the link there. I'd really encourage you to copy that and paste it into your browser. and then play it, when the webcast's over, because it really, really just catches hold of something. There's a lady called Jodie Bryant, I think, from Canada, and it's great. Thank you, Father. Just keep receiving for a few moments. Mm.